It is 5 o'clock. Kim Walker-Smith is going on stage at 7 o'clock at Leavenworth Premiere. But before she does, I first got her to sit down. Kim, hi. Since when have you been in South Africa?
Monday, maybe.
What? What have you been doing this week?
Oh, well, we spent a day in Cape Town just kind of adjusting to the time change and things like that. We walked around. And then we had, of course, our first night in Cape Town the next day. And then Johannesburg, and now here tonight.
You know, we like spoiling people who come to South Africa. We've got to show them the big five, and we've got to impress you with historical places that they drive you around. And
we're going to get to go tomorrow before we fly out, actually, to go see some animals, and we're excited about that. We have, you know, grizzly bears and things like that at home, but we don't have any lions and draft, so that'll
You've
be fun to go
nothing
see that.
In America when it comes to animals, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you been here before?
Yes, this is actually my third time coming to South Africa.
When was the last time you came?
About 6 years ago, I came with Jesus Culture.
Did I interview you then on television?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Because I can't remember if you were there or not. Because if you were, then I can refer to it and whatever.
Yeah, I don't really remember either. I don't know.
Okay, let's go home. You, before the first coffee, with only the pantoffels with jammies on.
Yes.
Before the makeup with no one to impress.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you there?
Well, I like to get up very, very early in the morning.
Seriously?
Yes.
You're an artist.
I know. I'm not a typical artist, though. I get up very early because I like to have quiet before my kids get up.
Uh-huh.
And so I have this big window that looks out over the land. I live on a ranch, and I sit at the window, and I have my Bible and my coffee, and I read my Bible, I pray, and I just enjoy how quiet it is before the kids get up and it's full on the rest of the day. So
what time are we talking, yeah?
Well, before the sun. So in the winter, it's, you know, about 6 o'clock. But in the summer, it has to be earlier, about, you know, 4:30 or 5. So
okay, so that would be quiet time. Then the kids happen and chaos happens.
Yes.
And life happens. So when do the songs happen?
Well, the songs have to be planned. You know, I'm not an artist where the songs just come at a random time. I actually schedule time to write songs. And I don't like to write by myself. So I like to write with a couple of good friends I enjoy writing songs with. And we actually schedule out. But I will always come with ideas. So a lot of times in those quiet mornings, that's when an idea might come to me. And I'll kind of jot down a few things like, oh, I think I'd like to write a song about this or about this. I write it down and I come with my ideas. So I come a little prepared, but I don't even try to write the songs in the midst of all the family life.
Idea-wise, you're talking lyrics here, or do you also bring some melody?
I will bring melody from time to time. Usually it's more the concept of the song that is kind of the first thing that takes root in my mind. There have been a few songs where I don't know what it is, but you know, the mundane tasks that you do that you don't put a lot of thought, you know, washing dishes or folding laundry or driving a car, just these things we do automatically. And my mind will wander sometimes. And every now and then a melody, lyrics will come to me, and I usually grab my phone and record it into my phone. And then I come with this little recording.
Snippet.
Yeah. And we build the song off of that.
So are your songs also based on life and struggles and the stuff that you're going through?
Yes, I would say.
Or more message-based?
I mean, I would say that for the most part, like a lot of artists, we kind of write from the season we're in. And it's even sometimes how we process whatever we might be working through or whatever the Lord is showing us. But I will say my most recent album that it just came out just like, I don't know, like a week ago now, but that album, all of those songs were written more on the other side of the process, more from the place of victory and feeling more like what you said, like I have a message, like there's something that I've learned and I want to sing about that. And I want to share that. And that was different for me, I would say. I mean, good different, but typically, yeah, I'm writing more in the process. But this time it was, no, I went through the process and wrote on the other side.
The thing is, I see people who've been a Christian a long time. Mm-hmm. When they face the same things a new Christian goes through,
mm-hmm.
it's a different kind of process mm-hmm. that you go mm-hmm. through. And I've seen it all kind of thing that you've got to have victory over as well. As if the same scriptures because you've heard it before, apathy in your heart. Do you struggle with the same things as normal people do?
Well, absolutely. You know, I actually talk about this a lot. Like, one of the greatest struggles that I've ever felt was, you know, my stepfather, who was dad to me, he passed away from Parkinson's disease. And he always prayed and asked God to heal him. And he never stopped proclaiming that this is who God is, that he is the healer and that he can heal. And we see all throughout the New Testament, Jesus doing this and healing. And so, but he wasn't healed. And it's something that no one, especially from a stage, we don't really hear a lot of pastors and preachers talking about it often, because there aren't really any answers that satisfy us. What do you say when you don't get the outcome that you wanted, or even the outcome that you believe is in the heart of God? I don't believe it's in the heart of God to bring death. God brings life. So why did it happen? And so we don't have the answers for that. And I think it takes a lot of humility and honesty just to say, I don't know, and to embrace the mystery of God, to still choose God, even in the midst of not having all the answers or not understanding all of it. And I think even for me as a songwriter and as a worship leader, it was really hard for a time to even sing songs that spoke about healing when that wasn't what I had experienced. And so I had to really decide for myself, do I still believe this is who God is? And do I still lean into this? And I think that's a struggle that a lot of people can relate to. That's just humanity. Things are not always as we want, but God is still on the throne, and he is still good, and he is still loving, and he still deserves all of our hearts. So
the thing is, there's a in-between. There's a time where you haven't got that answer yet. You don't have the peace yet. And you're still on stage because life goes on. You're going to sing and worship and do your thing. What keeps you going then? Do you feel fake?
No, I mean, I don't. I do understand that question and that thought, but I just remember, you know, I didn't grow up in church. And so even in the hard days, let's say the days when I'm tired, I'm on the road, I miss my kids, the hard days, I remember what God has done for me. I remember what he saved me from. I don't let my testimony become too distant in the past from me. I actually carry it very close, and I remember what it was like before God. And when I take that moment to stop and remember what he has done and what he has done in my life and how he freed me, I can't contain the worship. And truly, worship for me is actually in that place when you're maybe not feeling so great or wrestling through the things or whatever. Worship is actually what sustains me, because it's a way of remembering, you know, it's not all about me. It's a way of me keeping my focus on God and not just myself and my circumstances. And I think that's actually what carries me through that time.
But you can't lie to yourself. Your heart isn't there yet. Your mouth is saying the truth. The word, you're standing on something. I mean, when Peter was standing before me and he said, "Where must I go? You're the only one with the words of truth." But your heart isn't there yet, and you know it.
Yeah, it's just obedience, though. I've just decided, personally, my heart, my emotions are insignificant compared to God. And so I understand that if in obedience, if I choose him, even when I don't feel it, if I worship, even if I may not feel it, if I choose God above those things, eventually those things will line up. Eventually my heart comes into the right place. Eventually my emotions fall into the right place. I'm okay with the discomfort. I mean, it's a little discomfort. What is that compared to the cross and what Jesus did?
Yeah.
So I'm actually okay with that.
Okay, can I ask you another one of those questions?
Okay, all right.
As a worship leader, the whole team, they're real people going through real things, reading their own Bibles and getting to their own conclusions, but you're part of a ministry. I want to know, do you, when you don't agree with the church that you submitted to, because that's also a person, and they're also making up their own minds about stuff. You aren't always going to agree.
Right.
To what extent do you feel you have to agree to stay submitted to that church?
That's a hard question.
Because obviously what they say is also a reflection on you when you've got CDs in a ministry and you're going out there and you are committed to a specific church and everybody knows it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to whatever church you're at, to be aligned theologically. It would be really hard to pour your heart into a church and into a place, but not be in alignment or in agreement. And I think there's probably big things. I mean, we'd have to kind of decide that for ourselves. What are the big things that really matter that we should agree upon? Then there's other like little things. It's like, oh, I may not agree with that, or I may see it different, or I might have a different thought about it. But those things seem minor compared to the bigger things. But gosh, you know, I mentor a lot of worship leaders, and this is actually something that comes up a lot. Like, what do you do when you find yourself maybe in a place where you just cannot align yourself with that church any longer? I would never tell someone to leave a church. I think that's something that's very between you and God, or in my case, I'm married, my husband and I and God, and that's a decision we make together. But I think that that's something that for me, I would have to really hear God speaking. It's time to move on. I wouldn't necessarily let a disagreement come between myself and people. I think relationship and accountability is really important. But as far as that alignment with the church, I think the little things are maybe not such a big deal, but the big things, those probably are.
Okay, let's get to the music. Mm-hmm. Because you obviously make it with the intention to have influence on someone's life. Mm-hmm. But you only have that amount of control over what influence happens in someone's life, because mm-hmm. you say something meaning something, mm-hmm. but they hear it from their own place where they live and how they live mm-hmm. it. So how do you feel about that whole process? Do you just do your best and see what God does or what?
Yes. I mean, I'm in my 40s now. I've been doing this a very long time. I have learned that I'm not trying to please people. And I truly do not think about the influence. This, I've given this to God, and He can take it as far as He wants, or He can make it as small as He wants. It's just submitted to Him. And I'm writing with as much honesty and truth and integrity to my relationship with God and what I feel Him speaking to me and what I feel Him teaching me. But how it speaks to people, or how they receive that, or what they think of that, I have to stay out of that. I can't go online and like look at reviews or comments or things like that, because there are always going to be people that don't like yeah. what you do. And at the end of the day, it is still art, and art is subjective. We will all look at the same painting, and we will all draw a different conclusion about that painting. And there's nothing that we can do about that. I can't control people, but just like that, they cannot control me. And so I will be true to myself, and I expect that, again, God will do with it what He pleases. And my hope and prayer is, of course, that it blesses people and draws them closer to God. And at the end of the day, I have no control over any of that. So I'm just putting it out there and just trusting the whole process.
Well, you're lucky that you do worship. It's one of those universal languages. Doesn't matter where you are in the world.
Yeah.
People relate to well. Yes. All ages, all of it. It's really a wide way of speaking. But you do have to connect with your audience. And yes. now you're standing before South Africans. Mm-hmm. They've all got their own issues mm-hmm. and challenges and that. What mm-hmm. do you understand you're speaking to when you're looking at this crowd? What do you understand about South Africa and South Africans at the moment?
Well, I guess my understanding, first of all, as I see brothers and sisters, a completely different culture than what I come from, or, you know, what I understand. I see people just like so many around the world who are facing all of the same sorts of issues that are coming up in the world, the uncertainty of things. And even we all come from a different background and brokenness, many of us broken families. I understand that the same enemy that I face in my life is the same enemy that the people here in South Africa are facing. And so I would never want to make any assumptions about any people group or any culture. My heart and hope is always that I would come with humility to do what I believe my job as a worship leader is, which is to serve the body of Christ. And I hope that I do that in this time in worship, is just to serve and to hopefully make space for people to encounter Jesus.
But you must have a message for South Africa. You've got a microphone. I love you to speak. I mean, your music does it speaking on its own, in its own way. But to just say what you want to say to South Africa, what do you want to say?
I would just say, Gosh, South Africa. I love this country, and I've loved all of my times here. I love the passionate worship. I love the different people that I've met. I love that I have met people who seem to come from a more conservative, maybe a quieter, more reserved kind of church or worship space, and some that are more, I don't know what you'd call it, Pentecostals, maybe what we call it at home, but a different
charismatic.
Yes, yes, and you know, all the extremes are there, and I just see the same heart for worship and the same passion for worship, and I would just encourage them to keep up with that, and for the worship leaders of South Africa specifically to lean into the sound and the heart of this country and this nation. I know that worship songs and a lot of music in general, a lot of influence comes from America, but it won't ever carry the same weight and authority as writing for your people here and the heart of this place. It's something that no one in any other country could do that for you. And so I do think it's important for the music makers and the worship leaders of this place to be sure to write songs for this nation as well.
We have got incredible worship leaders. We've got networks of worship leaders who love writing together. I want to brag with, and they're good. They're really, really good. They write for South Africa. Okay, if people want to follow you, follow your ministry, all of that, where do they go to?
I'm on all of the social media platforms, you know, Kim Walker Smith on Facebook and Instagram and all the places. I don't even know all the places that it is, all the places. But also, I have a website, just kimwalkersmith.com, and they can follow me there.
Okay. Do you do your own socials, or do you have people doing
socials? I do a lot of it. I have some help. You know, I have to have someone younger than me to help me understand most of it, because I was not raised in that at all. And so I have a friend who's younger, and she helps me navigate social media. But for the most part, I do it myself. Yeah.
So we want to bless you in the name of Jesus Christ,
thank you,
obviously, that you will have the capacity to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and to have the capacity to love others as yourself, that He will show you beautiful, new, rich, effective ways to serve people with your music and discernment and an absolute passion for truth. So that truth can set free, not interpretation, your love for His word, that it'll be something that you will never grow tired of, never be blasé of, and that you will find newness, His mercies be new in your life every single morning, and that you will be someone God loves to sing through every single day, that you will have the capacity to be that vessel, a total see-through, cracked vase that people can see His glory through every single day. And may your music always be something that people will relate to. May your humility be something that He can raise up, that He can trust to raise up to have this kind of influence. That's what we want to bless you with in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you.